Hebrews 13, verse 17. Did everybody get an outline to look over? It'll help you when you are ready to turn to some of the scriptures there. It'll tell you where to turn to. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, we find who the Spirit of God says has the rule over you back up in verse 7. Look there in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Now here it tells us who that is. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now in the church, this is speaking primarily of God's pastor that he's put there to oversee, to bring you the gospel and to teach you. In your homes, those of you who have believing parents, this is for your parents have the rule over you in your homes. They're teaching you the word of God. That's the first priority of godly parents, is to teach you the word of God. More so than to raise you up so you can make a name for yourself or anything else that you could obtain in this world, is to teach you first the word of God. Now, verse 7 tells us there, verse 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. And you remember that word remember means bring to mind the faith that they preached, that they've taught you, and the faith that they've exemplified, that they've set before you by an example. And then in verse 17, it says, obey them. Now, the word here has to do with the heart. And it means to trust them from the heart. Give yourself to be persuaded that those that God has given to lead you have your best interest in mind and in heart. That's the word there, obey. And then the word says submit. That's an outward manifestation of what you believe in your heart. You obey from the heart, and if you obey from the heart, then outwardly you submit to their leadership, to follow them. Scriptures tells us that faith, which is an inward thing, a heart thing, faith without works is dead. Well, the works manifest that the faith within the heart is God-given, genuine faith. It doesn't add to our standing with God. It doesn't add to what Christ accomplished. It merely manifests that the faith in the heart is genuine. That's sort of the same thing that this word obey and submit mean. Obey is an inward heart thing, and submit is the outward manifestation that I truly trust you. I believe you have my best interest at heart. Now, look with me over at 1 Peter. 1 Peter to your right. If you look in your Bibles, go from where you are. Hold your place in Hebrews 13. Turn to your right. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, the Holy Spirit's word to you is to remember them. Be persuaded in your heart that they have your best interest in mind, and submit outwardly to them. Follow their example. Now, here the Holy Spirit tells me, as your pastor, how to teach you and to lead you. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember the example set before you. This tells me what example to set before you. Now, let me show you this. Are you there? Hebrews 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You see that? Well, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Do you, your parents will know this, they'll remember this, but there was a time after you were born that your parents left you with somebody else for the first time. And your parents, when they left you with that person, they knew that person. They knew that person because that was you were their most prized possession. And they didn't want to leave you with somebody unless they knew that person was going to feed you. Well, Christ has risen and he's seated at God's right hand, and he does not entrust his flock, his children, to any under shepherd until he knows that under shepherd. When he told Peter, feed my sheep, it was after Peter had been brought to understand that Peter had no power in himself, that Peter had fallen miserably, and God, Christ came to him and said, now Peter, now feed my sheep. He was prepared to feed the flock of God. Well, it says, taking the oversight thereof. I have the responsibility to watch over you. To watch over you. To pay attention to what each one is struggling with. To what each one speaks about and talks about. And to pray for you continually. To make intercession for you to Christ. You know, that's what Christ is doing for his people. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows those that are his better than we know ourselves. And he makes intercession for us with the Father. And so he's instructed his pastor to have the oversight of them, pray for them continually, and seek a word from the Lord for you for this hour, for whatever it is you need now. I can take it in, and I could pray to the Lord for you, but I have to ask the Lord, give me a message. Give me something from your word that will be needful for them in this hour. And then it says here, and so therefore, brethren, as an example, seeing that example, when it says, remember that, and obey from the heart and submit, it's telling you to do the same thing for me. Pray for me. You know, the apostles very often said, pray for us. Remember us. Pray for me. I ask you, pray for me, even as I do for you. Now, look here. He says, not by constraint, but willingly. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to be forced into coming to where we are. He didn't have to be forced to obey and magnify the law of God. He did it because he loved God the Father. He went to the cross and laid down his life first and foremost because he loved God the Father, and he would declare God's just. God doesn't save anybody at the expense of his justice. And God is the one that does the justifying, and he declared that by being God in the flesh, going to the cross and laying down his life. He didn't have to be forced to do that. He did it willingly. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down of my own accord. And then he did that also because he loved his brethren. He loved those that he died for. And he laid down his life to cleanse them, to purge them of their sin, to make them the righteousness of God in him. And so, brethren, knowing him, what I do, I don't do it because I'm forced to do it, but willingly, because the spirit that he sent forth into my heart that gives me life, spiritual life, that gives me faith and repentance and the grace and the fruit of the spirit causes me to be willing to give myself that God might be honored and that you might be edified. And so when our text says, obey them. Remember the faith they've preached to you. First and foremost, remember Christ that I'm declaring to you right now. And then see that why I do what I do is because of what he's done for me. And then he says, and you, remember that and follow that same example and obey from the heart and submit outwardly. And then it says here, and not for filthy lucre. That's greedy, sneaky, personal gain. Just trying to get something from you. Christ did what he did of a ready mind, from a true heart. Scripture says there was no guile in him, no deceit, he didn't do one thing with his left hand and another thing with his right hand. He wasn't speaking one thing to one person or another thing to another person. And so this word obey and submit is don't just outwardly submit to be a man pleaser, to be seen of men, but genuinely from the heart, heed and obey and submit outwardly. And then it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. We have one Lord, one King, King of kings. He's King of all the kings of the earth, and he's Lord over all the lords of the earth. One. And we're going to see this in our message today. When he rose and sat down at God's right hand, God declared him Lord and Christ. That means he has all power given to him that to make his people willing in the day of his power. And knowing that I can't make you do what I'm saying to you, I don't try to make you do what I'm saying to you. I don't try to force you to do what I'm saying to you. Because that's not my position. My position is to set forth what Christ says in his word, and he promises through the Spirit to enter into the hearts of those that he's everlastingly loved, and he will give them a heart of submission, and they'll obey him. And knowing that, I don't have to rule with an iron fist. Here's what I never want to be said about me. Here's what I never want to be said. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. I don't want that to be said about me. And the admonition here in Hebrews is don't let it be said about you. Don't let it be said about you. Now, we come here to several things, several reasons why. You back there in Hebrews 13. Go back there with me. Hebrews 13:17. And we're given several reasons to obey from the heart and submit wholly to them that have the rule over us. Verse 17 says, for they watch for your souls. Now, a watchman is what one of the words that is descriptions of God's true messenger. His faithful pastors, his faithful under-shepherds are called a watchman. A watchman is somebody who was in the tower, who watched in the tower to make sure no harm came to somebody. We manifest what we think of Christ, to whom this the chief office, it applies to him preeminently. He's the watchman. But we regard what we think of Christ by how we treat the one that he has set over us to be a watchman. And it says, for they watch for your souls. Now, it says here, continue that out, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Ezekiel chapter 3. Hold your place in Hebrews 13. And if you can get there, Ezekiel to your left. It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 3. You'll go past, go to your left past Daniel, back up past Daniel and Ezekiel chapter 3. Don't be afraid to use your index in the front of the book. If you have to find a page and turn there. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. All right, let me read it to you. Listen. If you're there, read along with me. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, unto his church, unto his people. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. That's why I said I seek a word from him. Hear the word at my mouth, he said, and give them warning from me. Verse 18 says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You got that? And then the same goes for the believer. Listen. He says, but yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Carried out your responsibility. All you were to do was to give a warning from my mouth. Done what you're supposed to do. Free from his blood. And then he says, verse 20, again, when a righteous man, the only man who's righteous is the one who believes on Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the only righteous man. That's the only righteousness that God regards, is the righteousness of his Son. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And he says, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness. Sometimes men profess to believe Christ to be their righteousness, and then later manifest they never really knew Christ because they can turn from Christ. If you can turn from Christ, your righteousness, you never knew Christ in the beginning. And he says, and if he turns, you see him doing something that to where he's turning from Christ, his righteousness, and commit iniquity. That is the iniquity. And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. So, when he says they watch for your souls as they must, as they that must give account. You see, it's a serious business. It's not something that you take lightly when you're getting a word from the master and you're just a delivery boy on an errand with his word to deliver it to you. It's bring it to them and tell them. To the wicked and to the righteous, to the believer and the unbeliever. I got one word from him. And this is the word. Believe on Christ Jesus the Lord. Stay on Christ the Lord. Trust Christ the Lord alone. He says, warn them, the righteous and the wicked. Paul said this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, listen to this, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That makes this thing, this is his rightful possession that he bought with his own blood. This is his people he purchased with his own blood. You know how he's going to turn that wicked, unbelieving rebel against him? That in his mind he considers Christ his enemy and he hates Christ. You know how he's going to turn that wicked man to Christ, his righteousness? By a man standing up and declaring to him that he's ungodly and wicked and can't come to God unless he comes by faith in Christ. That sounds crazy, don't it? It sounds like you stand up and tell a man he's wicked and vile, and God promises, Christ promises through the Spirit that he'll reveal that man's wickedness to him and by that draw him to Christ. I was down in on the river one time, and I had a friend of mine who had he was an electrician. And we were working on something there at the camp. I can't remember now, but I know nothing about electrical work, and it kind of scares me to see somebody work with electric wires. Even though you shut the power off and all that, it still kind of scares me because it just scares me. But he told me this. We were sitting there. I've always remembered this. I thought it was kind of funny, but it might apply here. He told me, he said, now, if I go to clip this wire over here, and he said, I get a funny look on my face. He said, you see that 2x4 sitting over there? And I said, yeah. And he said, you rear back with that 2x4, clock me hard as you can. He said, you hit me with it like you're trying to knock a home run. And he said, because I'd a lot rather you knock me off of this hot wire than me just sit here and hang on to it. And you know, sometimes the way you get out of a mess is bitter and hard and offensive. But that's what God said. You tell the wicked man about his wickedness. You tell him that there is no righteousness in his deeds and what he does. And therein, I'll get him off of that hot wire. I'll get him off of that sure and certain death, and I'll bring him to myself. You see that? Well, then he says here one last thing. Verse 17, he says, and do it that they may do it with joy, that they may feed you and do this with joy. John said, he called the brethren, those who trusted Christ, he called them his own children. He said in the third epistle, he said, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And he said, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Now, your fathers and your mothers know what this means, because the greatest joy they have is when they see you walking in truth before them and obeying from the heart. And you know, when you obey from the heart, it doesn't mean you have to understand everything that they tell you. There's a lot in this word that a babe in Christ doesn't understand. There's a lot in this word that an older believer don't understand in this word. We don't have to understand him to trust him from our heart. He said, trust me, and submit to me. And so it is, you don't have to understand everything your parents are saying. A lot of times we say, I don't know why they want me to do this. And we try to use that as an excuse not to do it. He said, obey me and submit to me. Well, the brethren, the pastor, the under-shepherd rejoices because Christ, it says that the Lord said, God said, thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You know why? Isaiah 42:21 says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness sake. He magnifies God's law and makes it honorable. God's son magnified his law and made it honorable. And God said, I'm well pleased with him for his righteousness sake. He obeyed from the heart. He submitted to the Father. He did what he did to magnify his law in precept and penalty and make it honorable. And then we read here in verse 16 in Hebrews that it said in verse 15, it talked about the sacrifice of praise to God and the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name and to do good and to communicate, forget not. And it said, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know why he's well pleased with those sacrifices in the believer? Because the righteousness of Christ that he's well pleased with through the Spirit of His Son working in the believer. His Son has created that fruit in the believer. It's by Him that we offer those sacrifices, and it's by Him that God's well pleased with those sacrifices. Well, you know why your pastor rejoices when someone submits from the heart and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ and submits to the leadership and walks after, faithfully after Christ. You know why? The same reason. The same reason. That's why Paul rejoiced. He said, "Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." The key word there is faithfully. To God, as unto the Lord. And the Lord said, it's not as if you're doing it unto me. He said, when you give a drink of cold water to one of these, the least of my brethren, you do it unto me. And He creates that fruit in the heart, and that's why God's well pleased with it, and that's why the one that has to rule over you is well pleased with it. It's joyful. Paul said, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? That's great joy to see to your parents see you trust the Lord, see you walk honorably, and see you obey them and follow their example and what they've taught you as you go out into the world. No greater joy. No greater joy. You can fail the SAT or whatever test you have to take. You can fail all that if you don't make good grades on it. That's all right. But to know that you trust Christ and follow after Him, everything else is gravy after that. Everything else is gravy. But listen, and one last thing, verse 17, and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for you personally not to obey and submit. How can you learn if you won't listen? Isn't that right? Secondly, it's unprofitable for your brethren around you. How can they learn when you're a distraction by a proud, hard heart that just says, I'm not going to submit. I'm going to have my way or else. It's going to be my way or no way. That's going to distract everybody. You're going to distract everybody. The issue is not with what's going out here. The issue is there's a heart problem when that goes on. That's the issue. And then it says, and it's unprofitable in that it causes your pastor grief so that he's troubled in his prayer and his work for you. I'll just read this to you. Moses went up into the mountain to get the law from the Lord. And while he was there, the children at the bottom of the mountain, they said, we don't know what's become of Moses. They told Aaron, up and make us a molten calf. And next thing you know, Moses comes down out of the mountain and they're bowed down to this molten calf and praising it and dancing around it, saying, this is our God that delivered us out of Egypt. And it said, Moses said, I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger. Over and over and over and over they murmured against Moses, murmured against Moses, murmured against Moses, complained about everything. If everything didn't go just right, boy, they complained. And they never lacked anything. They never lacked anything. That is us to a T. Well, we've complained just at the drop of a hat, and we have not lacked anything by God's grace. And murmur and murmur and murmur. The Lord told Samuel, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. And that's what made Moses fall down 40 days and 40 nights and make intercession on their behalf. Pray the Lord not destroy them. Prayed for them. But what grief. Jeremiah said, if you will not hear, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourself, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. You be brought low. He said, but do this that they may joy and not grieve. And not grieve. My dad had a four-wheel drive, a Ford, I forget now what model it was, but it was a Ford four-wheel drive truck, had big tires on it, and it was, for a boy that grew up in the country, it was just, it made my eyes glimmer when I saw it. And I took that truck, and I drove it down in the woods behind my house. There was about 4,000 or 5,000 acres that I could just have run-of-the-mill. And I took that truck down there, drove it back as far as I could get it down in the creek bottoms where it's just water and mushy and everything else. And I just wanted, I didn't think you could get, I thought that thing was like the Titanic. It couldn't be sunk. It could be sunk. I took it down there and I got that thing so stuck in the mud that it was, the housing where the axles are was a good 4 or 5 inches down in the mud. The frame of it was sitting on the ground. And you know what? My father didn't say too much to me. I think he couldn't say anything to me, or he would have snapped me in two probably. And he just went to get the truck out. But you know what was the hardest thing about that, the severest punishment? Is I saw how it caused him grief. That's what the Lord says. Whatever we do as believers, do it as unto Him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit of grace. And the same with the pastor He's given and the parents He's given. Godly pastor, godly parents to have the rule over you, to teach you. Don't cause them grief, He said. Make it so that they'll be joyful and rejoice in what you, your submission and your willful obedience. And you'll only do it by God's grace, but if He's willing, He'll make you willing. I pray He does that. So